Please turn to Leviticus chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1. That is on page 81 in your pew Bible. Leviticus chapter 1. This is the word of the Lord. The Lord called Moses and spoke to him from the tent of meeting, saying, "Speak to the people of Israel and say to them, 'When any one of you brings an offering to the Lord, you shall bring your offering of livestock from the herd or from the flock. If his offering is a burnt offering from the herd, he shall offer a male without blemish. He shall bring it to the entrance of the tent of meeting, that he may be accepted before the Lord. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Then he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and Aaron's sons, the priests, shall bring the blood and throw the blood against the sides of the altar that is at the entrance of the tent of meeting. Then he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire on the altar and arrange wood on the fire. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall arrange the pieces, the head and the fat on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But its entrails and its legs he shall wash with water. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If his gift for a burnt offering is from the flock, from the sheep or goats, he shall bring a male without blemish, and he shall kill it on the north side of the altar before the Lord. And Aaron's sons, the priest, shall throw its blood against the sides of the altar, and he shall cut it into pieces with its head and its fat, and the priest shall arrange them on the wood that is on the fire on the altar. But the entrails and the legs he shall wash with water, and the priest shall offer all of it and burn it on the altar. It is a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. If his offering to the Lord is a burnt offering of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or pigeons, and the priest shall bring it to the altar and wring off its head and burn it on the altar. Its blood shall be drained out on the side of the altar. He shall remove its crop with its contents and cast it beside the altar on the east side in the place for ashes. He shall tear it open by its wings, but shall not sever it completely. And the priest shall burn it on the altar, on the wood that is on the fire. It is a burnt offering, a food offering, with a pleasing aroma to the Lord." This is the word of God. "I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people." This is the promise of the Lord to his people. This is the promise of the Lord to you. It is the reason for which you were created. It is the reason for which you have been saved, to dwell with God, to dwell with God in his house forever. This is how Scripture ends. Scripture ends with the consummation of this hope. Revelation chapter 21, verse 3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God.'" All the prophets, all the scriptures speak of this hope. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 5, "In that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. Then the Lord will create over the whole site of Mount Zion and over her assemblies a cloud by day and smoke and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For over all the glory there will be a canopy." Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5, "Jerusalem shall be inhabited, and I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst." All the scriptures speak of this hope. All the scriptures speak of this promise. The promise that you will dwell with the Lord in glory. That is the hope in which you were created. That is the hope in which you have been saved. It is the hope in which you now stand. It is the hope for which you persevere. As God's people have done throughout history. This hope has been expressed by God's people throughout history. Psalm 84, verses 1 through 4. God's people say, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, singing your praise forever." Psalm 27, verse 4, "One thing have I asked the Lord. One thing have I asked the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." This is your great hope. The hope for which you were created. The hope for which you have been saved. The hope for which you persevere. It is a hope expressed in the book of Leviticus. It is a hope expressed in the tabernacle. The tabernacle was a visible expression of God's promise. The tabernacle was a visible expression of God's intention for His people at the end of this world. The tabernacle was the dwelling place of God in the midst of His people. The tabernacle was a revelation of the hope for which they had been redeemed. The book of Exodus, how does it begin? It begins with an act of deliverance. It begins with God's delivering His people out of the land of Egypt. Out of the house of slavery. The book of Exodus begins with redemption. The book of Exodus begins with the accomplishment of salvation. But how does Exodus end? The book of Exodus ends with the building of the tabernacle. That is no accident. These two things are intimately related. They go together. It is the reason for which Israel was redeemed. It is the reason for which Israel was brought out of the land of Egypt. It is the reason for which Israel was delivered from the house of slavery. Israel was redeemed that she might be brought out of the land of Egypt and into the land of promise. that she might be brought out of the house of slavery and into the house of God. Israel was redeemed that she might dwell with God, that she might worship God, that she might enjoy God in His house, on His mountain, forever. The song of Moses, which Moses and all the people sang after the Exodus, after crossing the Red Sea. How does it end? This song recounting the mighty acts of God, this song recounting the great act of deliverance which He had wrought. How does the song of Moses end? Exodus chapter 15, verse 17. You will bring them in and plant them on your own mountain, the place, O Lord, which you have made for your abode, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord will reign forever and ever. The song of Moses ends in this hope, the hope of God's people dwelling in the house of the Lord. And as the song of Moses ends in this hope, the book of Exodus ends in this hope. It ends with the building of the tabernacle. It ends with God coming down and filling the tabernacle with His glory. It ends with God dwelling in the midst of His people. This is the hope with which Exodus ends. And this is the hope with which Leviticus begins. I will be the glory in your midst. The tabernacle. It was not the ultimate fulfillment of this hope, but it was an expression of this hope, given by God to His people to assure them of His promises to them. The tabernacle expressed this hope, and it expressed it in many ways. The tabernacle in the midst of God's people, it revealed a greater hope. For even though God's glory was in their midst, His glory was veiled from them. God dwelt in the midst of His people, but His glory was veiled from them by the tabernacle. God dwelt in the most holy place. And so it was the people's hope. It was the people's hope not simply to have the tabernacle in their midst, but that they would enter into the tabernacle. That they would enter into the most holy place of the tabernacle, that they might dwell there with the Lord, that they might there behold the glory of the Lord. This hope was expressed in the holy place of the tabernacle. The tabernacle with its outer court, its holy place, and its most holy place. What do we find in the holy place? What do we find before that curtain that separated the people from the most holy place? From the presence of God. Eventually, we will read in Leviticus chapter 24 concerning the holy place that a lampstand was set there. A lampstand with seven lamps. And this lampstand with its seven lamps, It was symbolic of God's presence. How do we know that it was symbolic of God's presence? We know because this is what John would later witness in Revelation chapter 4, verse 5, when he was taken into the heavenly places, when he saw before the throne burning seven torches of fire. Seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God. And so the lampstand with its seven lamps shining in the holy place, it was symbolic of the presence of the Lord. But what were those lamps shining upon? In the holy place. The lamps shone brightly. But what were they shining upon? What else was in the holy place? What was opposite the lampstand? Opposite the lampstand in the holy place was the table of the Lord. And upon the table of the Lord was set the bread of the presence. The lamps shone upon the bread of the presence. And how many loaves were there on that table? How many loaves were set upon the table of the Lord? There were 12. There were 12 loaves set upon the table of the Lord, the bread of the presence, consisting of 12 loaves. It represented the 12 tribes of Israel. It represented the people of God. And so what do we have in the holy place? What do we have in the holy place of the tabernacle? Seven lamps shining upon 12 loaves of bread. The seven lamps shining upon the 12 loaves of bread. It was an expression of God's promise, an expression of their hope that God would dwell with His people one day unveiled. That God would dwell with His people unveiled, His glory shining upon them. That they would one day enter into the most holy place of His presence, there to dwell with Him forever, there to behold Him with unveiled face forever. But how? How would they enter in? How could they enter in? Psalm 15. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart. Who shall dwell in the house of the Lord? Only a holy people, a righteous people. And so, how would Israel enter in? How could they enter in? How could an unholy people, how could an unrighteous people enter into the most holy place of God? How can you, an unholy people, how can you, an unrighteous people, enter into the most holy place of God? Leviticus tells us. Through sacrifice. The center and climax of Leviticus is Leviticus chapter 16, the Day of Atonement. Only through sacrifice could God's people enter into the most holy place. Only through sacrifice could atonement be made for your sins. It was through sacrifice that the high priest, on behalf of the people, was able to enter into the most holy place of the tabernacle once a year. And so it would only be through sacrifice that God's people would be able to enter into the most holy place of His presence forever. An offering to the Lord was required. A male without blemish. To make atonement for God's people. To make atonement for you. And the hand of the people laid upon the head of that sacrifice. It demonstrated that the death it endured, they deserved. The hand of the people upon the head of that sacrifice demonstrated that the death he endured, you deserved. That he was offered up for your transgressions. That his blood was shed for your sins. That the way into the most holy place was costly. A cost which you could not pay. A cost which you could not bear. A cost which you have only by God's grace. For this, a greater sacrifice was required. A sacrifice greater than the blood of bulls and goats, which cannot take away sin. The sacrifice of Christ, the Lamb of God. The sacrifice of Jesus, a male without blemish. He has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He has been offered once for all to bear the sins of many. And through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, He has entered once for all into the holy places by means of His own blood. He has entered into the most holy place, behind the curtain, as a forerunner on your behalf. And in Him, Your hope has been fulfilled. In him, the hope of Leviticus has been fulfilled. The dwelling place of God is with man, and the glory of his presence shines upon your Savior. And he will appear a second time to save you who are eagerly waiting for him, to bring you with him into the most holy place, into the dwelling place of God, there to behold with unveiled face the glory of the Lord. Until he comes again, he gives you a sign of this hope, an expression of his promise. He invites you to this table. He invites you to the table of the Lord, a table on which is set the bread of his presence, the body of Christ, of which you are members. When you come to this table by faith, when you come to this table in Christ, you are entering behind the veil. You are entering through the blood of Christ. You are entering into the most holy place of God's presence. So come. Come. Come to this table. To hear. To taste. To see that God is with us. That he is the glory in your midst. Amen. Let us pray.